welcome in to the second hour of the Game Blitz. We are with you till midnight tonight here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. A lot of fun. The show brought to you by our good friends at Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, Big Kenny behind the glass, Elijah Campbell. Elijah, we arrived, man. Week 11 games are kicking off now. These next 3 hours are going to be simply fantastic.
It's going to be the most fun, organized / disorganized chaos I think you could possibly imagine, because we're going to be getting all the scores like we usually do every week. They're going to be rolling in at different times. We're going to have different updates for each one, especially from all the people that we have scattered all across the mid-state. But we're also going to be referring to the sheet, especially the one that I copied and pasted and sent to you, because there's so many scenarios, Joe Dubin. There's at least, I've now counted 11 games across the entire state where a winner is winning the region outright. And then there's about 15 different scenarios about what can happen. And a lot that when we get these results, we'll have to interpret exactly what they mean and what that means for the playoffs. It's almost like we're getting these results and having to cycle them through the Rosetta Stone to determine exactly how significant this is. So if you think it's crazy on this program every Friday night from 6 to midnight, you haven't seen it. How crazy it can be, because tonight's the night. It's going to be nuts.
All right, we got a lot of games going to run down. Preview games. Kenny, hit it, brother. All right, here are the games on the schedule tonight. A lot of these games are playoff implications and region championships on the line. We got Rossview at Beach, Lipscomb at BGA, Siegel at Blackman, Centennial at Brentwood. That's a huge game in that region. MUS at Brentwood Academy, Maplewood at Cane Ridge, Stewart County at Cheatham County, Gallatin and Clarksville is another big game for playoff seeding. Mount Juliet Christian Academy at Clarksville Academy, Kenwood at Northeast, Springfield at Clarksville Northwest, Gordonsville at Clay County, Ray County at Coffee County, Spring Hill, Columbia, Shelbyville at Cookville, Davidson Academy at CPA, Stone Memorial taking on DeKalb County, Scotts Hill at East Hickman, Good Pasture FRA, Nolensville, Franklin County is another big game, Columbia Academy, Franklin Grace, winner gets in, loser's done, Mount Juliet, Green Hill, we've talked about that, Adamsville, Hickman County, Wilson Central, Hillsboro, Westview, Houston County, Ravenwood at Independence, huge game, McGavick, Laverne, huge game, Creekwood in Lawrence County, Warren County at Lebanon, Riverside at Lewis County, Upper Mid at Livingston Academy, Cumberland County, Macon County, Greenbrier, Marshall County, Knox Catholic over at NBA, McKenzie taking on McEwen, Pearl Cone at Montgomery Central, Forest taking on Mount Pleasant, another big game for region title, DCA at Nashville Christian, Smyrna at Overton, Rockville at Oakland, Lincoln County at Page, Henry County, Portland, Sunbright at Red Bowling Springs, Loretto at Richland, Stewart's Creek and Riverdale, winner goes, loser stays home, East Nashville at Smith County, Hunter's Lane Station Camp, Jackson County, Stratford, Cascade.
Winner goes to playoffs.
There you go. Cascade, Summertown, Franklin Summit, Joe Byrne Sycamore, Glencliff, Tullahoma, Trousdale County, Watertown, another game. Big implications, Fairview Waverly, Collinwood at Wayne County, Lakeway Christian at Webb School, Hendersonville West Creek, Harpeth at Westmoreland, White House Heritage, Rockwood at York, and Pope taking on McCauley. Those are the games that are happening tonight. And, you know, you look at games like Stewart's Creek and Riverdale, winner gets in tonight. I mean, there's a lot of those games happening tonight, Elijah.
Oh, there are. Yeah. I'm just, you know, pulling up and scrolling through a lot of those, like what you said, Clay County, Gordonsville tonight, region championship game as well. Wow. Even some of the teams that, some of those smaller schools that, like Jackson County, Stratford, Jackson County's 2-7, Stratford's 1-8. You think their season's over going in tonight, right? Wrong. There's one playoff spot up for grabs in that region. Winner of East Nashville and Smith County wins that region. Maplewood is firmly cemented as third place. The winner of Jackson County and Stratford gets to go to the playoffs. The other season's over. There's a lot of that tonight, even for a lot of the schools that we haven't gotten to talk about. We haven't followed Jackson County and Stratford a ton. They struggled this year. But tonight, there's a lot of significance because their season will either end or continue. After tonight, there's a lot of games with seeding. You mentioned Clarksville and Gallatin.
Yeah.
That's a fun one because Gallatin can be anywhere from up to second in that region to anywhere down to, I believe, fourth. Because I don't think Rossview can knock them out.
Right.
Because Rossview's on the outside looking in. But there's a lot that would have to go wrong for them to not be able to make it in. But, man, Joe, like there's every game you're reading off, I could find some significance in one of them, you know, especially even with Oakland Rockville. If Rockville's able to pull it off, then they punch a ticket into the playoffs, and they're going to have to kind of hope for other things to happen if they don't win tonight, to be able to make sure their ticket is punched to be able to play here next week. So that's my favorite part about this. And I've been kind of anticipating tonight, just because we finally get to do our, who's the guy on NBC during election night that's at the board, and he's talking like he's just drank like five cups of coffee. And he's talking with his hands.
How do you talk about? Yeah.
Yeah. That's me right now with like the board. It's like, yo, they have a 5% chance to make the playoffs. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. I'm projecting them to make the playoffs. Like, that's kind of how I feel like I am right now, but it's a lot of fun. There's so many games to look at, and I'm excited to hear the updates that we're getting from Junie from tonight, just because we have a rivalry game and a region championship game, a whole lot at stake. DCA and Nashville Christian is going to be a mammoth game. Both those teams are playing so well right now. I mean, close your eyes, get a dart and throw it at the state of Tennessee, and you'll land on a game with serious implications tonight.
I love it. You know, we talked earlier about, you know, the games are just now kicking off now, so as soon as scores come in, we'll blast them out to you guys tonight. But games that have you, and I hate doing this, like winner, you know, goes on, loser goes home. I mean, a loser is such a strong word. I mean, if you get beat tonight, your season's over with. Yeah. You're not a loser, right? So I always hated that word. But you know, McGavick-Luverne is a huge game. We talked about in the earlier hour. I mean, this is a Luverne team. It's won two games, but if they win their region games, they get in the playoff tonight over McGavick. I mean, Stewart's Creek and Riverdale, the same thing. And we go on and on and on. But this McGavick-Luverne game is just so interesting because this is a Luverne team that was pretty much left on the side of the road. And now they went tonight. They're in the playoffs.
Oh, it's significant. I mean, Luverne's been an afterthought because, I mean, when some of the losses they've had this year, Joe, early on, were rough. I think it was Rockvale that just absolutely took them to the woodshed in the first or second week of the year. And I remember talking to our man Anthony Fiorella, who's joined us several times, covers a lot of the Rutherford County teams. And he was on the call for that game. And I remember him texting me. He's like, I did not think Luverne would be this down this year. I'm like, really, really disappointed to see how down they are. And they've completely done a 180. We talked about it. If you missed it in the first hour of the show, we talked about the road that they've kind of had to have to get here, right? I mean, their schedule consists of, at the very end of the season, I mean, with only one win, you got to beat Antioch, McGavick, and John Overton to be able to get into the playoffs. McGavick and John Overton have looked like buzzsaws for a lot of the year. McGavick greatly improved. John Overton looked like no one could score on them for like a 5-week stretch.
Right.
And not only did they score on them, they beat them 33-8. They beat them like a drum, took care of business against Antioch. And tonight they can do what we thought was impossible a few weeks ago. You know, I made the analogy of high school football. Like tonight we are the guy on NBC or Fox, you know, with the board saying the percentage of this is happening and this happening is this. I would put Luverne at like a 3 or 4% chance to get into the playoffs 5 weeks ago. And what's going on right now with them has been remarkable. So that game is going to be a whole lot of fun tonight. And if they have the lead going into the second half, if you're a team like McGavick, who looked like they were firmly in a couple weeks ago,
right,
there's going to be a lot of mental hurdles you're going to have to go through. You'll be playing yourself as much as you are playing against your opponent, because that eerie feeling of doubt definitely does start to creep in from any competitor's standpoint.
I totally agree. We got some early scores for it now. DCA is struck first, gets Nashville Christian on the board 7-0. McCauley leads Pope John Paul 7-0. That's also in the first quarter. And Hendersonville just scored West Creek. They're up 7-0 right there. So those are some of the early scores that have coming in right there. And that DCA Nashville Christian game is important too, because that's the region championship. Also, you know, Nashville Christian lost to DCA in the regular season last year, and then made their way back to the state championship. DCA won there. So I'm not a comparison from year to year, because it just different teams and different things that happen. But the same time that, you know, you lost to the state championship. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, all right. And sometimes, you know, it's the paralysis of analysis. You want to beat a team so bad that you get caught up into it and you don't play your best game, and we'll see what happens. But right now, DCA is up on Nashville Christian 7-0. We talked to the Pope John Paul coach last week, Coach Sneed, I think it is. And all those teams make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. In that region and those division two, it's just a matter of going on the road or staying home. So Pope John Paul would like to win this game tonight and not have to go to Knoxville or Chattanooga or Memphis next week.
Because if it's going to Knoxville, you're not only just making, you know, an hour and a half, or actually more like a 3-hour drive, you're doing it in another time zone. And that can be really tricky. And like that could be insanely tricky, but if for them to be able to get a home game is huge for that reason. And also, it'd be a good testament to how far they've come. How many weeks ago did they lose Kenny Minchie, the star quarterback
who's going to be playing at Pittsburgh
next year? Like 6 or 7, they've been playing essentially without a quarterback for the last 5 weeks, and they keep winning. They find ways to win. And that's a tip of the cap to Coach Steen, his coaching abilities, and those kids for being adaptable. That's a fun life lesson right there. You find a way to have the cards stacked against you and figure it out. Those kids just figured it out, and they've been able to reel off some wins and look insanely impressive after having to take about 2 or 3 weeks of serious lumps. I mean, they almost let BGA get him. BGA's been down this year during that early stretch when they, were figuring out what's going on with the quarterback. Baylor trounced them, and then they had to figure out, get a squeak out a win against BGA. But since then, they look like one of the better teams in the state right now. They've been able to utilize a lot with some holes at serious positions and other injury bugs and a lot that's gone on with them. They have been lifed, I like to say, throughout this season, but they've just made it work. So that's a really fun team. And that's one, if they can pull off a big upset against McCauley tonight, I mean, that could be a huge testament just to how far they've come since those losses.
I agree. Hey, update, Junior Riddle reporting that Mount Juliet took the opening kickoff and returned it back for a touchdown. So
if you're a Bears fan, that's a good start.
That's a great start, which leads us into that's a huge game. They have the Mayor's Cup tonight. So we'll take our first break. The mayor of Mount Juliet's going to join us, Mayor James Manis, about this whole great environment that's going on tonight for the Mayor's Cup and all how Wilson County's about lost. Well, part of Wilson County's lost their mind over this game tonight. So we'll talk to the mayor that's coming up next. You listen to the Game Blitz right here, 102.5, 106.3 of the game, brought to you by our good friends at National Playmakers Academy and Apple Collision Center. All right, welcome back here to the Game Blitz. Going till midnight tonight, brought to you by our good friends at Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy. We've talked all show tonight, just what a big night and big week it has been over Wilson County and Mount Juliet. This big game tonight from Mount Juliet and Green Hill, and they have the first annual Mayor's Cup. We're honored to be joined by the mayor of Mount Juliet, Mayor James Manis. Mayor Manis, thank you for doing this. How are you?
I am doing great, and I tell you what, there's probably 5,000 or 6,000 other people out here doing just great here on the hill at Green Hill High School.
Tell me about the Mayor's Cup. I know there's Mayor's Cups happening all over the place, but what was the kind of the genesis for you guys starting yours?
Well, honestly, at the beginning of the season, I'm looking around trying to see when all the ham games are and look at one of the schedules, and it's got this one listed as the Mayor's Cup. And I'll admit to being maybe naive and not knowing that was a common term.
Right.
I started asking the questions like, well, am I supposed to show up with a cup? So with our sponsors from R&M Printing and Volunteer State Bank got together, we actually made this a literal Mayor's Cup. So they're playing. We've been to the pep rallies today. I mean, these two teams are fired up.
I love it. By the way, Justin Beasley has threatened me that if I didn't bring you on the show, it would not end. it would not end good for me. So I'm glad that we got you on tonight, Mayor. What's the week been like? Because this is this turned in a short period of time turned into this huge rivalry between Mount Juliet and Green Hill. But what's this week been like from your perspective, looking at all this?
Oh, it's been amazing. I mean, just the atmosphere around town here in Mount Juliet. You see people really starting to buy in, and if you were just showed up in town, you would not believe that Green Hill and Mount Juliet, this is only their second time to play. And this high school here, it's a new high school. They're trying to get traditions established, and I tell you, I can't think of a better way to get one established, get off at what's going on here, because it is an amazing atmosphere.
Talking to Mount Juliet Mayor James Manis right now, and James, we appreciate you joining the show and excited to have you on. And I'm going to be the first one to say you are officially the Mayor's Cup game. No one else has actually made a cup for it that I know of. So if you're going to take the effort to actually make the trophy, it's yours. We're going to refer to that as that only, as the voices of Tennessee high school football here. We'll make it official right now. This is the Mayor's Cup with a little trademark symbol next to it.
I like it.
Exactly. But Mayor Manis, I guess my question for you right now is, Green Hill is a school that's in its infancy, honestly, in terms of a lot of schools around the area. But what does it say about them? They've been able to get these facilities that are really nice, establishing really good programs, and being able to assimilate in the community as well as they have.
Well, I think it says a lot about the administration here and the coaches, staff, and you know, just the atmosphere and the environment that they're developing here for this school. So I think it says a lot about them. I think it says a lot about the community too, and you know, the parents, the boosters, those that support this. And I mean, that's true for both programs. Mount Gilead's obviously been more established, and they've had more years of doing this. But you know, the same passion, and honestly, I think Green Hill is in a lot of ways following that model, and it's been over time a successful model. So it's a great way to go about it. Find something that works and do it.
And Mayor Manis, another one for me here. It's one of my favorite things about high school football here in the state, especially, you know, in some of your towns outside of, you know, Nashville, is how much the community rallies behind one team. But what's better than that is if there's two and the town gets to fight over them and argue over them, yeah, or have some friendly competition between the two. Just what has that addition gotten to, or of Green Hill and them being this good right off the bat and Mount Juliet always being this good, how does that kind of sprinkle a little spiciness within the community?
Well, it does, because you see, you come to the Green Hill home game, you wouldn't know the school is just less than a couple of years in their program. The fans are here, the stands are packed, and you know, from if it wasn't a different colored green versus gold, you wouldn't know you weren't at Mount Juliet in some regards, because the support is here already. And you take that, you put these two teams together, and you've got the recipe for a good game, a good matchup, and this is going to be a rivalry that we're going to get to enjoy here for years to come.
We're talking to Mount Juliet Mayor James Manis. Mayor Manis, have you done more media than this that you're doing today than you've done as mayor? I mean, you're everywhere today.
Yes, it is. funny you mentioned that. Yes, I mean, it's been a lot today. And, you know, I'll say this. This is probably the most media I've done for a good reason. I mean, we've had some difficulties in the past here at the city with tornadoes and other things that have happened, and you know, the media interest in that. But this is for a great cause, and this is probably the busiest I've been for us, talking to the media, responding, talking, and you know, Justin and the staff there have done a wonderful job really promoting this. The school system, if you live in Mountain Juliet, you know, a lot of the people come here because of the school system that we have and the great job that they do. And I don't mean just in athletics, but academically, the arts, everything across the board. The schools are our foundation in a lot of ways for our community. And you just see it on display tonight. And as a mayor of a community, this means so much to me to just see the two fan bases out here, see the kids competing, seeing them in the pep rallies today, the passion that they had. And for Green Hill, I mean, the seniors here from Green Hill, they started out their career, high school careers, as for most of them in Mount Juliet High
right.
School as freshmen, and then they moved over. So, I mean, this is a game, I know the SEC says it just means more, but this is one of those things, it just feels like that. It just means more, especially to them tonight.
I love it. Mayor Manis, I know you're a busy man. Thank you for taking time out. And when you see Justin Beasley on Monday, just let him know that I had you on the show, so he'll give me my dog. So he'll give me my dog back, all right?
Oh, he'll do it.
All right, thank you, Mayor.
You,
all right, thank you. Mayor Manis here from Mount Juliet. Elijah, you see the excitement in him? He's just, I love that when he says, this is the most media I've done where I only get to talk about good news. And I love hearing that. That's excellent.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, being the mayor of any town is going to be a stressful job. You know, when you're the boss of anything, it doesn't go without, you know, stressors. So what he gets to do tonight is get to sit back, relax, watch two really good football teams battle it out for his beloved trophy that they've brought to for the occasion, and to be the actual mayor's cups. They earned something tonight. I'm putting a little trademark next to it for them. no one can take it. So
I love it. Hey, real quick, Gordonsville just scored up on Clay County 7-0. I know you got all the playoff scenarios. Mm-hmm. What does this mean if Gordonsville wins tonight?
If they win tonight, they are the region champs outright and get that number one seed in their region, which is Region 4-1A. Both coming into the night, these two teams are 2-0 in their region. This is one of those regions that have only four teams, so everyone's making it.
Right.
However, you would like to be the number one seed in this. And if you are a team like Joe Burns in Red Boiling Springs, the winner of that game gets the 3 seed, which means they don't have to play South Pittsburgh, who has been an absolute buzzsaw this year. I'm going to have to do that on the road. So there's a lot going on in that for those two teams as well, even though they've had down years. But Clay County and Gordonsville, an 8-1 Clay County, 7-2 Gordonsville. Winner of that game is your Region 4 1A champs. So a lot on the line there in that game.
As you're talking, your favorite high school football team, Henry County, just scored on Portland. And I guess they went for two. They're up 8-0 right there in the first quarter. I hope there's a great crowd in Portland. I like big crowds of high school football. But Henry County off to a nice roll tonight, Elijah. So you could put your Patriot hat on if you'd like.
Yeah, absolutely. I will look like Heath Ledger and Mel Gibson, the Patriot. I already have the hair to make it, give myself like the little low bun there. Like, all I need is a horse and start yelling, "The British are coming." And then you know that I'm in full Patriot attire. But this would be a coronation ceremony. I expect Henry County to win this game by a few touchdowns against Portland tonight and really kind of cap off the incredible year they've had. And I mean, they're 7 points away, Joe, in two separate games of being in the Elijah Campbell Platinum Undefeated Club, which is the teams they get to go 10-0 through the regular season, which there's already a few of those so far. They've already punched that ticket. But, yeah, a big game. Henry County's loaded. That's a loaded team, and they're going to be a buzzsaw in the playoffs this year. And I'll have to keep tabs on, you know, the other region to see who they'd be playing off the bat. A lot of teams in Memphis. And it's looking more like Memphis Central and Dyer County, but only one team in that region, I think, has a chance of beating them. That's Munford. And the only team that in their side of the bracket that could beat them too is Springfield, because we saw what happened when those two teams played earlier this year. It was an all-timer. We might see those two teams play a couple rounds into this state tournament as well. So that's pretty exciting stuff.
By the way, Clay County, not happy with your assessment of Gordonsville running away with the region. They just scored. So, waiting on the PAT right now at 7-6. Green Hill kicked a field goal, so they're trailing Mount Juliet 7-3. Creekwood has got up over Lawrence County 14-0. You know, Creekwood's a team that we've, you know, it's not the team at the top. It's not, you know, the one or two top teams in the league or whatever in the region. But we've kept our eye on Creekwood all year long just because of the coaches we've talked to have played them have said, our guys have never been hit as hard as they were against this Creekwood team. So Creekwood's up 14-0 over Lawrence County. That's a big game. That's also playoff implications tonight for that team.
Pretty significant. I believe for them it's win and get in. I need to go ahead and look down on my sheet here. But it's for that Creekwood team too. They were at the beginning of the year, took some lumps. But another team, not maybe as the same level as Laverne, because Laverne's start off a lot lower than Creekwood did.
Right.
But Creekwood was winning all the games they needed to at the right time. And voila, they put themselves in a position to make the playoffs. What Creekwood has on the line tonight, as I'm scrolling down, fantastic radio, Elijah. Lawrence County, what they needed to beat Creekwood to make the playoffs. And they needed Greenbrier to lose to Marshall County to be safely in. But Creekwood, it's a win and end thing for them. And it sounds like they're taking care of business early. Not an easy game, because Lawrence County is another team that's starting to play a whole lot better as the season's gone along. And it looks like Creekwood is, if they finish this game, they'll be 6-2. I think they're actually in regardless. Really the only team that do they win, they have that tiebreaker too. Which in that region, I mean, you have to go back and look at each team's entire schedule to see who has the tiebreakers, because their whole schedule is their region play. But that's a really good Creekwood team. A win tonight put them at 7-3 on the year, 6-2 in a really tough league. I like that Creekwood team, man. They have that identity. You know, we talk a lot of generic football talk for a lot of these teams because you can't watch all of them. However,
correct,
it's already established to us that one team plays so physical that's the main thing each coach that comes on here talks about. Then you know they've established that identity, and they've done it really well. Really well-coached team, and could give some teams some trouble here in the playoffs.
I love it. All right, as we do at the top and bottom of each hour, we give you a complete scoreboard update. We got some scores that are rolling in right now. We'll get them to you next at the bottom of the hour. You listen to the Game Blitz brought to you by our good friends at Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, right here on 102.5, 106.3 of the game. All right, welcome back here to the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. And, you know, we got scores. They come flying in. But first, let me bring in Elijah Campbell, Big Kenny behind the glass tonight, make it all happen. And we got scores, Elijah. Let's get to them real quick while we are at the bottom of the hour. Hit it, Kenny. All right, as we said, scores coming in fast and furious. The ones we got: Centennial up over Brentwood 3-0 early. Gallatin has tied Clarksville 7-7 in the second quarter. Gordonsville leads Clay County 7-6. They missed the extra point there, so Gordonsville's up 7-6.
Could be big.
I know. Nolensville on top of Franklin County 3-0. Green Hill trails Mount Juliet 7-3, but Green Hill is driving inside the 10-yard line. Independence up over Ravenwood 7-0. Creekwood on top of Lawrence County 14-0. Marshall County on top of Greenbrier 6-0. Nashville Christian leads DCA 14-7. Loretto is 14, Richland 7. That would be a big upset in that game right there if that stays the way it is. Richland's got a good team this year. What's going on? Let me scroll down some more. Franklin on top of Summit 7-0. Tullahoma leads Glencliff 21-0. Waverly just scored to go on top of Fairview 12-7. That's a huge game with region implications. West Creek leads Hendersonville 14-7. And White House over White House Heritage 7-0. Those are the scores that come in right now. If you don't have a score and hear your team, that means there's been no score in the game. But Elijah, you've got an update on the East Nashville-Smith County game.
Mm-hmm. That means after one quarter, we're at donuts, my friend. No score in that one. I mean, we talked about it being a really big game going into tonight, right? Winner wins the region, and Smith County's been the team in that region that we haven't really gotten to talk a ton about just because East Nashville's been so impressive.
Right.
Well, Smith County, after one quarter, in what I assume to be a raucous environment in Carthage, has given them a game. Both defenses taking over right now, and that's the kind of game I feel like Smith County wants. They want the what I like to call the Kirk Ferentz special, where your punter's going to help determine how you win this game and pinning teams deep and playing the field position chess match. And if that's the game they need to win this game, which I feel like it is, so far they're doing it. So they're tied at zero right now going into the second quarter. That's going to be a fun one.
Oh, absolutely. Let's go back to the phone line brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises, our man Junie Riddle at the Mount Juliet Green Hill game. Junie, what you got?
Guys, I know that you're watching this on TV, but the opening kickoff was electric. His name is Danion Cize. Takes it back for the return on the opening kickoff for Mount Juliet to get the 7-0 lead. But since then, it has been all Green Hill. Green Hill came out, and their number one receiver, Caleb Carver, took a reverse handoff. They put him in motion, handed it off, and he took it about 30, 40 yards downfield. Then followed by quarterback Cade Mahoney, took it up the middle, putting them inside the 10, but with a huge Mount Juliet stop, held them to 3. With the following possession, Mount Juliet went 3 and out on offense, so we haven't seen this group get going because that was their only drive, and they pinned Green Hill down inside their own 10, but they have slowly and surely been carving out with a really nice drive going here, looking to set up a score to start the second quarter here. We're still at a commercial break waiting to get back because we know this game is the TV game of the week with our guy Max Herz. So right now the players are heading back on the field to see if Green Hill can capitalize on this excellent drive that basically took up majority of the first quarter.
The opening kickoff of Mount Juliet, so Green Hill could have been shocked. It could have been said, oh, my goodness, what happened? But it seems like, according to you, Junie, the Green Hill just kind of let that go past them and got out and just kind of played their own football game after that. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, no, flat out. Listen, if you want a big play to happen against you, it might as well happen on the first play of the game because you have plenty of time to recover. I mean, I imagine this coaching staff is over here telling their players, like, okay, listen, we knew they were going to come out and do something big. Now it's our time to respond. And since then, that is what they've done. Currently, they just took a play for about 2 yards. Cade Mahoney just got taken. He tried to take the read on a read option there, and he got taken down in the backfield. He's currently just handed off to his guy, and another takedown. This red zone defense for Mount Juliet is heading strong without a lot of space. this Green Hill finesse that they've been doing with a lot of bubble screens, tunnel screens, reverses. There's not a lot of space for them, and their trickery down here in the red zone, and Mount Juliet has been taking advantage of it.
Well, don't go anywhere. If they're still inside the 10-yard line, give us a play-by-play, but let us know if Green Hill could punch it in, because a lot of people are not watching this on TV because they're on the radio and driving around. So give us a play-by-play. What do you got?
Take the snap, Joe. The handoff. It's a reverse. It's reverse. He's throwing it. He's not. He has nowhere to go. Another big stop in the backfield. He at least, from my angle, it's on the far side of the field. Stopped about 5 yards behind the line out of bounds, and it looks like they're bringing the field goal unit out again. Mount Juliet Golden Bears with another huge red zone stop to prohibit Green Hill from taking the lead.
Well, I'm glad he didn't throw the ball, because all too often that guy who's on the reverse is going to throw the end zone. They'll throw the football and it gets intercepted. So that's a smart play by that young man.
Smart play, and it really seems like they have a good kicking unit when it comes to field goals here. He's lining up right now for the field goal for Green Hill. Let's see what we got. The snap is up, and it is good. Barely inching in, nearly blocked off the edge. It was an excellent rush by the field goal block unit for Mount Juliet, but now we have a 7-6 game with 9:58 left in the second quarter. Again, it's been very eventful thus far. Like I said, a lot of big plays for the Green Hill offense, but big stops have been the name of the game for this Mount Juliet defense. Let's see what this Mount Juliet offense can do on their second drive of the game.
Well done. Junny Riddle, as always, great job, brother.
Wow.
Absolutely, guys. I'll hit y'all up around halftime.
All right, well done. Thank you.
Thank you, Junny.
By the way, Fairview has scored again. They're on top of Waverly 14-12, and that's in the second quarter. So I think that game tonight, Elijah, we follow both these teams all year long. This might be 72-70 tonight.
It could be a shootout. It could be a little bit of the opposite of what we've seen in some of these games that have been a little lower scoring in the first quarter, fast moving first quarters. But those are two really good offenses with Fairview and Waverly, Joe. And that's another game too, region title game. And those teams have been kind of on a collision course all year long, right? We've talked about it. It's like, well, the only team it looks like that can beat Fairview in this region is Waverly. And the only team that can beat Waverly in this region is Fairview. So we saved the best for last in that region tonight. And Two of the better offenses in their classification. They are a lot of fun to watch. It's an exciting game. And the fact they've scored two touchdowns already, I mean, what you do for your PAT is going to mean a lot, because that is really the only difference so far in that game, assuming that Waverly hasn't, you know, accrued six safeties to get to 12.
Let me ask you, in the region that Pearl Cone's in with Marshall County and Greenbrier, what's Greenbrier's status? Because they just scored on Marshall County. The game's at Marshall County. Greenbrier's up 7-6. Is this a win or get-in game for them?
It is. They have one game up on Lawrence County, right? Only five teams are still like in the picture in Region 5. Tullahoma, Hillwood, Montgomery Central, and our beloved Glencliff Colts are basically eliminated. What you have tonight, Pearl Cone is going to win the region. They're 7-0 in region play. Marshall County 6-1, pretty much firmly second, because Marshall County does have wins over Creekwood. Well, actually, Greenbrier would make that interesting, because then a loss would make Marshall County 6-2. A loss would make, or a win, the win over them would make Greenbrier 6-2 in the region. And if Creekwood finishes the deal against Lawrence County, that would eliminate Lawrence County and make them 6-2. So your two through four seeds would all be 6-2 in region play. And like Matthew Gillespie from the TSSAA told us earlier today, in the event of the three-way tiebreaker, it's head-to-head, which in this instance, everybody beat everybody. So you go by overall record. The best overall record would be Marshall County. They'd be 8-2 in this scenario. Creekwood would have the second best at 7-3, and Greenbrier would be at 6-4. So it would fall Marshall County, Creekwood, Greenbrier. But the win would secure Greenbrier's spot in the playoff and automatically eliminate Lawrence County, regardless of what Lawrence County did tonight.
Man, I love you. That's just that's so fantastic. You're able just to rattle off those stats. That's amazing. Thank you for that.
Man, way too much studying has gone into this. The last 2 days, I have been like, okay, well, if this is the tiebreaker,
that was some good stuff right there, man.
That's great.
I'm telling you, this is a stream of conscious, I guess, more Jack Kerouacian like way of explaining how the playoffs are going to go. But that's the picture. Hey, that's good on you, because if you didn't have Matthew Gillespie on the show today, Joe, I wouldn't have been able to definitively tell you that that's how it's going to be. Now, just wait till we get to the Williamson County schools over in 6A.
Right.
Because I have every single scenario of what happens tonight in both of those two big games.
Oh, that's crazy. All right, we'll take another. Fantastic, man. You're the best. Elijah Campbell, everybody. All right, we'll take another break. We got more scores that are rolling in, more everything. This is a lot of fun with you till midnight tonight, right here. This is the Game Blitz brought to you by our friends at Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy, right here, 102.5, 106.3, the game. All right, welcome in back into the Game Blitz here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. Myself, Big Kitty behind the glass, and Elijah Campbell. Elijah, Ravenwood has just scored again. They're on top of Independence 21-7. Ravenwood gets that. Do they win, depending on what Centennial does? I can't figure all this out because I'll go crazy.
All right, I'm glad you asked that, because here's how Ravenwood wins the region tonight. Obviously, you got to beat Independence. They're up 21-7, so they're kind of checking off that for now, right? They need Brentwood to beat Centennial, because Centennial beat Ravenwood, they have the tiebreaker over them. So if they win tonight, Centennial beats Ravenwood, Centennial is region champ because of that head-to-head tiebreaker. But if Centennial loses to Brentwood, Ravenwood does have that tiebreaker over Brentwood, so they would be your region champs. Brentwood would be second.
Oh, goodness. Okay. All right. So I'll process that. There's a lot that goes on right now. That's a lot there. All right. Let's bring in Lance Mackey, who's at the McGavick-Laverne game tonight. Huge game. Whoever wins gets in. Whoever loses, the season's over with. Lance, what you got, man?
What's up, y'all?
What's up with you?
Well, it was scoreless here for about a quarter and a half. And after a 70-yard run from senior running back, David Winters.
Sure.
We are now at 14-0 Laverne.
Oh, my goodness.
They took a 70-yard quarterback run, turned into another three and out by McGavick, and then had another big quarterback run by their senior quarterback. We're 14-0.
Wow, I mean, what in the world? I mean, is Laverne just controlling the line of scrimmage? Has McGavick got any momentum at all?
McGavick just took a 70-yard kickoff back. They're inside the red zone now.
Oh, yeah, keep us here.
It was honestly, we had a three and out followed by three straight turnover on down. So it's been a lot of back and forth. There's been a lot of bad snaps by McGavick. But it's been a great one so far here. You can kind of feel it now with the team getting into it, trying to cut this lead in half right here.
All right, let us know what's going on there. McGavick's got the ball. Where are they?
You have some play-by-play.
Yeah, where do they have the ball?
They have the ball at the 15-yard line going in, second down and nine. Here we go, quick bubble screen. Oh, making a man miss, reversing his field. Oh, and he slips. A loss of five. It's going to be third and 15.
Hey, yell at them and say, do better. Don't fall down.
The turf monster gets his first tackle.
Last time I did that, I got escorted out.
I know. So that's why we want you to do it again. All right. So now it's third and 14.
Third and 17, they're saying.
Okay.
I had different measurements on my end, but, you know, things happen over here. So here we go. I'm in the coaching. I had been in the coaching box with the McGavick coaches, so it's been a lot of silence for a while.
You just tell them,
so
you know
I
me.
Apologize.
Tell them you know me.
All right. Well, another outside give. Tackle for a loss. We're going to have fourth down here. We'll see what they're going to do. You would think they've been going for it all
day.
Yeah,
tell Coach Burnett to go for it.
Oh, I will. And both coaches.
Scared money don't
game,
make money.
Before the game I talked to, and they're super stoked. Their teams are definitely ready for this. You can just kind of feel it right now. Hopefully we're going to get another score here in a second.
So what is it, fourth and what?
Fourth and 17.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, quarterback sneak.
You can make it from there.
Yeah, I got a feeling we're going to have a sprint out to the right here. Oh, straight give. Oh, my goodness. Off tackle to the left. and he's tackled, so only about a four-yard gain. So we're going to have another turnover on down here, boys, and, you know, the vicious Laverne offense getting back out here.
All right, you keep call us back in a little bit, all right, brother?
Wow.
All right, boys.
All right, see ya. Lance Mackey with the play-by-play on the McGavick and Laverne game. Elijah Roth last week, he was covering East Nashville game, and I had him yell at the Riverdale coaches, I think it was, to do a play. And my guy yells out of the press box at the coaches on the field. Oh, my goodness. So I got to tell you, man, Elijah, talk about teams.
That's journalism, baby.
Teams peaking at the right time. Laverne, I mean, this is what a story. I mean, Coach Mike Woodard over there, what a story. I mean, I'm not going to pull any punches. They were terrible early in the season, and now look at them. They went tonight to the playoffs.
My jaw is on the floor right now, Joe Dubin, with this development. I mean, you go back and look at Laverne's schedule this year. I got it pulled up, right? Here's their journey. 44-12 loss to Rockvale. 14-6 loss to Siegel. They beat Antioch 31-0. Everyone's beaten Antioch. Poor Bears. 38-6 loss to Smyrna. 27-13 to Cane Ridge. 38-0 loss to Stewart's Creek. 34-28 loss to Dixon County. And oh, by the way, that's Dixon County's only win this year was Laverne, right? They started off this season. Was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 losses and one win. 1-6 in their first 7 games. They're completely out of the playoff picture going into their bye week on October 7th. And then is the John Overton game. Then they beat John Overton 33-8. They get beat 34-19 to Centennial in a non-raging game, which essentially just doesn't matter. But they win this game. They're already up 14-0 on McGavick. If they're able to hold on and win that game, they're going to squeak into the playoffs at 3-7, which is remarkable compared to the season they've had so far. That's a stunner. I mean, as much as we talked about Laverne possibly being able to do this, in the back of my head, I only gave it a 10% chance of happening. I'm stunned.
Oh, same as I am. Man, that's why we love high school football and things that go on. By the way, games have gone already to halftime. Waverly has scored again. It's at half. They lead Fairview 20-14. Tullahoma over Glencliff 21-0. Trousdale County and Watertown are tied at 7. That's a big game, too, as well. Oakland over Rockvale 21-0. What does that do? If Rockvale loses, are they out?
That one is very tricky now. Let's see. A Riverdale win and a Rockvale loss creates a 3-way tie for third. Riverdale would have the tiebreaker over Stewart's Creek. Stewart's Creek would have the tiebreaker over Rockvale. Rockvale would have the tiebreaker over Riverdale. So if the tiebreaker is overall record, which it is, Riverdale is 3, Stewart's Creek is 4. And Rockvale loses to Stewart's Creek, wins. Stewart's Creek has the 3 seed. Rockvale has the 4. So that's a loaded question because other things have to happen as well. But if you're Rockvale, we can go ahead and assume that if they're down to Oakland right now.
35-0 now.
Seemingly insurmountable. Right. I've seen crazier things happen. I've heard of crazier things happen. However, I think it's pretty well safe to say that they would have been clinched if they pulled off the upset. Okay. But when I made my notes here, I basically wrote on the assumption they weren't winning the game because Oakland's Oakland. That's a testament to how they are. But they're going to need some help tonight in that regard from Stewart's Creek being Riverdale.
Okay. Green Hills just scored on Mount Julia a touchdown, and I didn't see the touchdown, but they're up now 12-7. So I don't know if they went for two or try to kick the extra point and blocked. I'm assuming they probably went for two. But what do I know? And you shouldn't assume because my mom told me that when I was 5. And I still don't listen. So Green Hills up on Mount Julia right now, 12-7 in that game. And so far that game lives up to its billing, Elijah.
It is 12-7. That one is Junie's going to have a heart attack at that game because it is going to be so close. That one is a whole lot of fun. I'm excited to keep tabs on that one. Another update here. We finally have a score in the East Nashville Smith County game. East Nashville scores a touchdown with a minute to go in the half. 1 yard sneak by, we think it is Zach Beard.
Yeah.
For East Nashville. The PAT, however, is no good. So with less than a minute to go until halftime, East Nashville up on Smith County 6-0. And from what I have heard, the atmosphere is nuts.
Kickers will drive you crazy, right?
They will. I mean, might as well just go for two or start faking field goals. That way they're like, oh, there comes the kicker. And then like, that's one of my favorite plays in the book. I love the good old fashioned fake field goal, but Yeah, that's seemingly been at least one of the Achilles heel for that East Nashville team, is they don't have much in the kicking game. But that's Smith County's giving them a game. I mean, they're going to be within a possession seemingly going into the fourth quarter if they kind of stick to the game plan right now. That one is juicy.
Before we go to the break, your Cookeville Cavaliers have scored on Shelbyville. They're up 20-14. Cookeville in the playoffs at 2-7.
Yes. Deliciously, yes, deliciously in the playoffs at 2-7, the way the Lord intended it to be. But if they win tonight, they lock up the 3 seed at 3-7, and then get to travel to play Blackman again, which probably won't fare well for them. Blackman scores a lot of points pretty religiously, so I don't love their chances. However, I would rather them play Blackman than Oakland. You're picking your poison essentially at this point.
That's right.
Win makes them play Oakland or Blackman instead of Oakland.
Hey, but you know what? You live another week, right? I mean, that's it.
You survive. Yeah.
The opportunity is there.
3 wins this year would triple the amount last year. Yeah. I think they went 1-9 last year. So they tripled their win total. That's big.
What's the new head coach, Hennigan? What's his first name?
Taylor Hennigan. Was that Gardner Webb last year as, I believe, a quarterback's coach before taking this job to come back home? So he left the college ranks to come back and coach high school for his alma mater. He was the quarterback when I was in the 8th grade. At Cookeville High School.
Oh, did he
remember it like it was yesterday?
Did he stuff you in any lockers or anything?
No, but he's a physical basketball player. We have played many a pickup basketball game.
That's good to know. All right, we will take another break
a little bit.
At the top and the bottom now, we give you a complete scoreboard update for you, and that's coming up next right here. Listen to Game Blitz. We got 4 more hours. Yes, 4 more hours of great high school football coverage with you right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy.